Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 90, part 1, Temptation. Today is Friday, March 20th, 2009. Thank you for joining the podcast today. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Just a couple quick announcements before we get into Pastor Paul's message. First of all, you know that Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. And if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation on the homepage to support our urban mission operations. You can also join the online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to go there, join the online community. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Or if you want to leave a comment, go to the blog. You can also ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. And you would just go to the blog, go to the interactive link, click it on, and there you are. You're going to also find at the blog, you're going to find interactive links to scriptures that are within Pastor Paul's message. You'll also find other information about the mission as well as the original recording dates. Another quick announcement just about the change in the format. Pastor Paul's podcast is now going to be delivered in two parts. The same episode in two parts. Part one will be delivered on Friday evening. Part two will be delivered on Sunday morning. It'll make for a shorter download file as well as shorter listening time. So I think it's going to work out really well. If you have any comments, you can make those comments at the blog. Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you and have a great week.
And this is Matthew 4, starting in verse 5. Then the devil took him into a holy city, and today's tape is entitled Temptation. And the devil took him into a holy city, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. There we have the promise, and there we have the precept. So many times we like to get into the promise, but we never like to get into the exhortation or the rebuking or the precept of the message, the meat of it. And again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Think about that. All the kingdoms of the world. He was seeing the whole world in all their glory in the future. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Listen. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and began to minister to him. Woo, he gave out the word. I thought as I was getting ready for this message and pondering over this message that why is it that we spend so much time trying to explain our own personal revelations to one another? Things that have happened and we've been delivered in our own lives, we try to explain this to someone else, mysteries to others, our deliverances. There is just no way you can tell someone exactly how you were delivered. You can give God the glory. Cheryl and I were talking last night about physics and its formulas. And she said, well, you know, I would understand in class, and a light bulb would go on, I'd say, oh, now I got it. But I would go out and I would try to work the problem even with the formula, and I couldn't work it out. I forgot. And I thought, oh, how like that is. We'd understand something, and we leave with a full understanding, and we get out and we forget how to work the problem out. And then the clearest and the most important exposition of the revelation of God in the Bible is the revelation of God in the renewed man. Listen, the change and the miracle within are the manifested in the fruits without. And you won't be able to explain just exactly how it happened, but there you are with apples and oranges hanging off of you. Okay? The fruit of God's working on the inside, for the increase is caused by God and God alone. Oh, we preach and we plant the seed and we water. But God is the one that causes the miracle. And the miracle is the increase. And the increase is the understanding. And the understanding is the knowledge of the Lord. And the knowledge of the Lord comes from the wisdom on high. And so on. We know all that. But just exactly how it happens, and Linda was saying one day, well, you mentioned one piece of scripture. All of a sudden I understood. Well, it was quite a simple scripture, and a lot of times we go like that, but we don't have the manifestation of the freedom inside. All of a sudden that seed takes hold. God causes a revelation. Now try to explain that to somebody. That's trying to explain your salvation to someone. Well, how does it feel? And what happens to you? And how do you know? Well, you know because you know because you know because you know. That's why you know. That's the only way that you can tell someone. It's inward life that produces results, not definable with words. You cannot define exactly how you grew, but you know that you've grown up, don't you? Do you know exactly how it happened? No, that's still a mystery. There is a certain height that you're going to be. There is a certain shape you're going to take from your mother's womb until now. Can you explain that? No, you can't. And it's the same way in your spiritual growth. It is a mystery and it is all of God. But also, we find out that in proportion to our advances in the divine knowledge of God, that the very things written in the Bible are written in our own experiences. We can only grow as we have our experiences, as we experience that which is in the Bible. That's why it says, do the will of God. That's why it says, don't only be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. So that you will have experiences. And so many times, we could have a wonderful experience, but we won't obey God. We'll hold back on one little thing. And like I said, Friday night, we'll make all kinds of sacrifices, ram's fat, before the altar, but we won't let God deal with us with that one thing. And there we're stuck with a whole bunch of stinking ram's fat around us that God doesn't want. He doesn't want your sacrifices. He wants your obedience. And we never fully understand divine truth until we have experienced it. Until we know and we understand the formula in every problem is the Lord's workings. And I believe the promise is never so bright as it is in the personal trial and the personal experience. I mean, oh, that's the truth. practical experience versus the theory. Now, you can read until your eyes just get all red and swollen up. You get big black circles in them. You can just play all the tapes and listen to radio ministries and listen to me preach. But until that you have an experience by actually doing what God has told you to do and obeying Him, nothing will happen. There'll be no fruit. Why? Because there is no root in the divine truth. So there you hang with maybe a branch over here with some little crab apples on it, a little bit of fruit. The other one hanging over here all dried up and no fruit on it whatsoever. Not allowing God to prune us. Say amen, somebody. So we go on and on and on and on, and everybody all around us gets real good and miserable because we just won't change on that one point. No, my God, we won't do it. So we'll go around, we'll find faults with everybody else but ourselves. How many are hearing this message today? You listening on the radio to this tape, I want you to hear it. Because you can't grow unless God gives you the increase, and He can't give it to you if you don't want it. Also, the gold of the sacred tooth is not valued until it's been tried by fire. You're never going to value anything that God gives you until you've been through the fire with it. Till you've been through the fire, until you are thoroughly ready. And then you'll say, yes, I know that truth because I went through the fire with it. Now you're going to value it. Now you're going to cherish it. Now you're going to give God all the glory. Why? Because you have a value. You went through. It's something that you did. You went through school. You went through work. You're going through a marriage. You're going through these things. And you learn as you go. And going through the fire gives you a value. Now you can place a value on it. Now you can be used of God. Now you can spend your life like a golden coin. Because you're worth something. You've been tried as if by fire, and it's got the mint mark of Jesus Christ on it, and it'll do something. Other than that, it won't do a thing. You can learn and learn and learn and listen and listen and listen. You won't learn a thing until you get the stamp of the Lord on your coin. How many are hearing this today? So as by fire, the Holy Scripture is full of stories of temptations. All the way through the Bible. So you can expect that in your Christian walk, your walk will be full of temptations. Well, why don't you just claim they won't be there? It won't do you any good. Because it won't be scriptural. It'll be receiving a promise without the precept, or without a divine revelation on how God wants to work it out, and you'll say, this is the way it's going to be. And God says, there's a whole lot of things I've got to do before that happens. Just like you do with your own children. Why can't I? Because. Because why? Because. You can't explain to them the because why. Because they wouldn't understand, and they'd give you another what? Because. And they'd give you another why. Isn't that right? And so we simply obey God. And also we must register this, that there's also a provision that's made for the assaults of Satan. God never will leave you out there all by yourself. And I'll tell you something, demon powers have battled people for centuries. And you're going to need the full armor of God. They don't want you to understand the formula. They don't want you to understand the problem. You. They don't want you to understand that you are a miserable sinner and you need God every minute of the waking day. They don't want you to understand that. They want you to get puffed up. They want you to read and read and read and get all kinds of knowledge but never come to deliverance in your own. Say amen. I think there's a whole lot of trees walking with glasses on, you know what I mean? With no fruits on them. They look real good and they look real studious, but they have no fruit. Also then, the Word of God is written out in the life of Christians. Say amen. You go through and you start doing things, it'll be written in your life. You are the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men. What you do is written on you. You'll show on you. There'll be fruit on you. And people will be able to read from you. The life of who? The life of Jesus. They'll be able to see, the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Aren't we all made in the image of Christ? You know what? Satan hates you for this. You are made in the image of Jesus Christ. But then also in the proportion of as the Spirit sanctifies us. And I'm talking now about the spirit and the soul and the body. It makes us like the Master, and we are conformed to Him, not only in the holiness, and I'm talking spiritually, which sanctification produces, but then also our experiences of conflict and sorrow and agony and triumph. They're all in there. Now listen to this. In all points, Jesus was made like unto us, like unto His brethren. But then again, on the other hand, it now remains that in all things, His brethren, you and I, will be made like Him. Ooh, we will have many growing pains, let me tell you. You do not grow into the image of Jesus Christ without a lot of growing pains. And many trials, as He came down and had many trials and was like unto us, so will we have many trials coming up to where He is. How many are hearing this? Oh, yeah, I know, but I just want to lock in on all of my... You don't want to even hear... A lot of times people... You listen on the radio, you don't want to hear this. Probably not. Probably not, but my God, you're going to hear it, whether you like it or not. Some of you people sitting here are going to hear it, whether you like it or not. Why? Because you got to change. Well, I don't want to hear it. You are going to hear it. Say amen, somebody. Lock all the doors and windows. Nobody's getting out here until I'm thoroughly done with this message, which might be 4 hours, but my God, we're going to have deliverance here today. Say amen, somebody. So here we are. We're going to have a lot of growing pains. We're going to have many trials. I looked at the Savior's life and getting ready for this, and I thought, wow. Starts out in a contest with Satan. He came down so we could go up. Woo! And he starts his ministry out, and he starts his life out with a wilderness experience. And then he ends up in Gethsemane with drops of blood pouring off of himself. Doesn't sound too attractive, does it? Oh, there were some bright stops in between, but the gloom of the desert deepens, as we read in the Bible, into the midnight darkness of the cross. You know what that shows me? It shows me that we also must begin with trial and expect to end with it. Oh my God. I would have known this would have happened. I wouldn't even have become a Christian. Where were you before you were a Christian? You had no one to help you. You'd probably be in a mental ward right now. And sometimes we should go to the mental ward even after that we're born again, temporarily, to tag ourselves and put ourselves aside for a day or two. But I'm talking about that you were habitually crazy. You want to be temporarily insane? Well, get 1 degree off of Jesus, and you're as nuts as you can be. Say amen, somebody. Whew. You mean you have those days? You better believe it. Say amen. But I'm beginning to understand that my walk is not only beginning with trials, and my day is infested with trials, and I wake up to the trials, but that it will end with trials. Say amen. Are you hearing this word today? The victory of our Lord was won, and it was won on Golgotha Hill in the blood and the wounds while people smote at Him and swore at Him and spit at Him. Does that sound attractive to you? And I know that the victory of every believer will not be cheaply bought. Now, it's getting kind of quiet in here. You're trying to make a decision whether you should go on or not. Where else are you going to go? Jesus holds the words of eternal life. Well, what's in it for me? Peace that passes all understanding while you're going through. Sanity in your home. The The crown, I'm saying, is not won without wrestling, without overcoming. You think you're going to get a crown for just sitting and not doing anything and not... Well, you might get a little one of them little old paper hats and a little old wooden sword and some little old funny-looking tennis shoes with holes in them. But I'm talking about coming on to the glory of God. It's a battle, folks. It's serious, but it's so much fun. After you've gone through the fire, after your sword, the word of God has been tempered. Okay, now I hear the minds clicking. I hear them clicking. But is it so? Oh, unbelief, go hide your face. Say amen, somebody. You know why I can preach like that? I know from going through. No, I think you're a little bit crazy. Well, that might be. That helps sometimes. Say amen. Ooh, sometimes I think preachers have to be crazy. Well, it says to be a fool for Christ's sake, doesn't it? You're going to look like you're crazy sometimes because you're just so full of the deliverance of God. You've been through it yourself and been through the fire. You can't explain it to nobody. My God, they don't want it. But it's there, and you know it's there. And all you got to do is open up the door and say, get in there. Ooh, see, we're going to have to fight if we're going to reign and go through the same conflicts as our Savior did. But by His grace, we can do all things, it says, through Christ who strengthens us. And so today I'm going to name 2 points off here. To look at the temptation itself as we have felt it. And how many know you feel temptation? Your skin sort of crawls all over you. And number 2, I shall offer a few considerations derived from them. And so let's go on with it. So first we are to view the temptation itself. Now you pastors, ministering the gospel especially will endure many trials. When you minister the gospel, you will endure many trials. Well, doesn't the Bible say rejoice in them? Why is that? Now you know you're on the right road. And I'm not saying play the part of the martyr and walk around like, God, why me, Lord? Not saying that. Because they are sent to us so that we can comprehend in some small measure the Lord's trials. If we're to become like Him, your children, when they grow up, don't you see them going through the very same trials that you did? And you tell them, now you do this and this and this and that'll happen. Don't you see them make their mistakes? Then you'll have one kid that obeys and he'll just go right along just smoothly. Huh? And then you'll have one kid that, takes off for the city. But the one that stayed back here and did everything right is a living stinker. Now, I know you all agree with that because we got a bunch of stinkers sitting in here today. But you're a lovely bunch of stinkers. Say amen, somebody. You're finally coming to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been through. You've had the experiences. Your coin is worth something. You got the stamp of Jesus on you. Well, you're telling people go out and sin so they can be more like Jesus. No, I didn't say that. I say they are sinners. When they do go out and sin, which of course they do, and I'm not telling you to go out and do it. No, I am not. But knowing human nature just a little bit, being one myself, sometimes, I can witness this to you. That God is able. How many are hearing this? And so I start to comprehend the Lord's trials. Now I start to speak the word with an anointing of the knowing that the deep waters of spiritual tribulation. Now, pastors, when you go through the deep waters of tribulation and trial, you're going to know what you're talking about. Say amen, somebody. This isn't everybody that's going to want to listen to what you have to say, but my God, that's the devil trying to get their ear stops up so they won't get some kind of freedom. But I'll tell you right now that a pastor that's gone through will be able to minister deliverance to other people. And it's his job to minister it even though they don't understand over and over and over and over again and in hopes that they will. And of course, the Spirit will give that Spirit within them utterance, and finally they will say, Abba, Father, to the whole thing. How many hearing this? And so, preacher, today I want to minister a little bit to you. The prayer and the meditation and the temptation are the three best instructors of the gospel minister. You gotta have them. Don't try to claim your way out of them. So when you describe the temptations of the Lord's, you will know it personally by experience. Say amen. And you know what will happen? People will get free if they want to. If they have a desire to. Then your ministry, preacher, will become so intense and yet so plain and so simple, it will lay a root so easily to freedom. And they'll say, well, how did you arrive at that root to freedom with such simple words? My God, I have written book upon book. Well, that's just long words. Doesn't mean a thing. There's a way, walk there in it. See, it isn't all complicated, is it, that we don't want to obey? And so, in our not wanting to obey, we make up a whole lot of things to get around doing the truth. And so, preacher, as you go through those things, and God has delivered you through those things, you can plow away with the truth. Plow away, and people can walk right through that truth. Say, my God, this is easy. And you think to yourself, yeah, easy. But that's what God is going to use you for, preacher, to open up those ways of freedom and deliverance. And you'll be able to tell your people, follow me as I follow Jesus. Say amen, somebody. It isn't always easy, preacher, but I'll tell you one thing, it's the best way to go and the only way to go. And so let's first look at the place of temptation. And it says, then the devil taketh him up into a holy city. Imagine, here's God, here's Jesus, going up. Now, there's sort of a double danger there. He's going up, now he's up, but then he's up and he's in a holy city. So there's double danger. Double jeopardy. It says it was a high place. The temptation could not have been used there on the desert. It was a different place. It was a high place. In other words, this place isn't the same as this place or this place. He was in a high place of temptation. And not only a high place of temptation, but the pinnacle of the temple, a holy place. He couldn't have experienced this particular temptation down there in the valley, green pastures, no. Or lying before still waters, no. But on a high place and on a holy place, the temptations were different. Whew. Oh, I'll tell you, the foothold was slender. On the high place and on the holy place. And the fall would be great. The world, it said, lay before him, all of it. But of course, his thoughts were concerned about the combat within. And yet, I believe Jesus, being divine, being also human, and yet it widened. He went from the wilderness, in other words, and there he went from the wilderness. All of a sudden, he was looking at all the glories of the world. And you know what he was suffering? Temptation. Isn't there a song like that? You came along. I sing the song, you were temptation. Isn't there? How many are hearing this word today? Oh, you listening on the radio, sitting in your day, and you're in a humble position. Praise God for it. Praise God, and you're be grateful for the safety that grows out of lowliness. How many times have you been in a place, oh, I wish I was back there. I was so happy then. Married couples think that all the time. We didn't have anything, but we were happier. Now we got all this and we're in a high place, but we're not happy. Oh, that we could be in the low place. And they're sitting in divorce court. Because they got into a high place. Now, money can do that too, can't it? How many people do you know right now that could stand to get $1 million? I could. I'd give. They're already thinking how they can cheat God. They're already thinking about the income taxes. Give it all away and you won't have to worry about Uncle Sam. Say amen. Set up a match. Say, government, I'm going to give 50% of this and the 50% you take away from me. Let's give it all to Ethiopia. Spend $10,000 for news ads on what's going to happen by God through you. Challenge people. I challenge people every time I get up to preach. Say amen, somebody. I know I do. My God, it's only by the revelations I've received that I can challenge you. It's only by going through the fire that I can challenge you. It's only by the experiences I can challenge you. My God, they're so wonderful when you go through. I can't explain it to you, but it feels so good. Oh, it feels so good. High places bring different temptations. Say amen, somebody. Growth presents brand new problems. Now, my little new little grandson, he's got problems. Someone's got to change his diaper. Is that right? Little Nick has to change his diaper. And he'll grow a little bit and he'll start crawling around, bumping his head. That presents a new problem now. Oh, goody, I can crawl. Do, 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 boom, boom. Oh, I wish I were just laid in bed and mind my own business. But he doesn't learn. He gets up and he's ready to walk now. So he totters around. A new set of problems. Now he's got to go to school, doesn't he? And mom's out there hanging on the back of the bus looking in the window so nobody beats on her kid, you know. Now presents a new set of problems, doesn't it? See, he's growing up. It's the same way with the spiritual growing up, isn't it? Huh? And then he goes to school and your mom has painted his fingernails. I remember my mom did that. That's how I started chewing my nails, trying to get that stuff off there. Now, it was a new set of problems, wasn't it? Now, Mom, don't add to my problems. Don't make me wear these short pants. My legs look like sticks. Kids were putting their falling down, dying, laughing. I mean, Mom, I'm in the fourth grade. They're probably maybe one of the best street fighters that South Dakota had. Wearing them short pants. Well, let me tell you something, though. There's always new problems coming. And then Junior grows up, and he gets his car, and he's got problems, hasn't he? And you got problems, too, though, don't you? Huh? Oh, yeah, you do. You have problems with Junior. And first, you're just worrying about him breathing. Now you're worrying about you to keep breathing and making it through this thing. I'm not trying to scare you, Dan, but it's the truth. You see, what I'm trying to do is to get people to put their reliance on the Lord. He is the formula. He is the one that can work it all out. Oh, God. And so we go on and we have these position advances. And many look back and say, oh, my life was so simple when I was going to school and I had my friends and we just had our little tennis shoes and bobby socks on. Gee, I wish I was back there again and I've missed so much by goofing up. You didn't miss nothing. They have their problems, don't they? Say amen. It's one thing I never want to be ever again as a teenager. He spent most of it in jail, that's why. How many are hearing this? Oh, but we think back. Oh, it was so simple. You got a whole new set of problems now. Life is more complicated. Then you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and then you got to wear their ring, their stupid ring. It weighs about 4 pounds around your neck. Got my ring on? Yes, I got your ring on. Huh? And then you decide to get married. One thing worse than a problem is two problems living together. You know who's going to solve it, though? Jesus. Are you against marriage? Of course not. Get in there and suffer like we have. See what I'm saying? You can claim all you want to, but my God, you're going to have problems. And you have to find out that the formula is Jesus Christ and walking in obedience to the Word of God. Are you hearing this today? Ooh, isn't it hard to carry a full cup? How many are hearing this? Now, as the king's worker. Are you hearing this, people? He says, now here's a half a cup, see? Oh, you can monkey around with a half a cup. And you could be reckless. It's because it's only a half a cup. I mean, if you're just coming to church not doing nothing, you just got a little bit in the bottom of the cup. Oh, it's easy being a Christian. Huh? But now you got a full cup. You're the king's bearer of good tidings, and he fills it right to the brim. And you're up on that pinnacle, and you're walking along. You know what? There's a whole lot of people watching you, sightseers. And you got to carry God's cup without spilling it. It's a little different story now, isn't it? And they're all waiting for you to spill a couple drops. Oh! Huh? A little different, isn't it, in that high place, in that full cup, isn't it? Oh, a little more responsibility now, isn't there? Now you got a full cup. Now you got to be more careful. God has entrusted 12 children to your care. Before it was just do 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 do, huh? But now you got a full cup. You're walking around with this, and all the children are depending on you. And preacher, all the congregation is depending on you, and now you're in a high place, and now you're on a pinnacle, and you got a full cup. Now you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and you got to use all those things you've learned. You cannot be the same as when you had a half a cup. Well, the world says he is only working with a half a deck. Something like that, don't they? The guy's only using a half a deck or something like that, a half a head. But when you get a full head, and when you understand through the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ that God, preacher, listen to me, that God has chosen you to do a job, don't let anything, anyone, anything divert you from that, but do what God has told you to do, and don't listen to all the endless arguments from the nincompoops out there that are waiting for you to drop a couple of drops from your cup that God has filled overflowing, and be humble and say, Lord, steady my hand. Are you hearing this? Whoa, I'll tell you, when you got a full cup, you got an audience. Now, Dove is coming into a full cup. Before, they were just sort of playing, you know, and they'd have like, no appreciation audiences, maybe 25. Maybe 50. But it won't be long and they'll be having audiences of hundreds. Do you know that there are actually thousands of people, maybe even millions with the tapes that go overseas and all around, that are watching this ministry? Do you realize that God has given this ministry a full cup? Do you realize that God deals with the bearer of that cup? Just as he deals with you parents that have a full cup, so also does he deal. But I'm in a holy place. You people are in a holy place. You're on a pinnacle. We are a body. I mean, people envy you when you have a full cup. Oh, look what God gave them. We only got a half a cup. But when you got a full cup, people start to envy you. Say amen. When you go out on the hobo bus, and you started out with just a half a cup, but now it's growing. Now we have to get another bus ready. And you got a full cup. Now you're, so to speak, in a high place with a full cup. Either you get better or you go down. Either we improve. Have you noticed I've been down there improving all the time? Why? We got to be a little more careful. Now we got a full cup. God has given us not only 10 people, but 250 servings. Now you got a full cup. You got more to deal with. Isn't that right, Jim? Isn't that right? You were down there last night. How'd you like it? It was great, wasn't it? But can you see where it's becoming a full cup? It's getting fuller and fuller and fuller. Needs more organization, doesn't it? So we're going to have to seek the Lord. Lord, how can we make this thing? You've given us the full cup. Now give us the formula to carrying this cup. Give us the power to carry this cup. Give us the wisdom. Give us the balance in our ministry so that we don't shake it, so that we're not after all the promises with no precepts and no rebuking. Well, I claim, and they want no rebuking and no pain and nothing like that. No, how people love to see each other fall off the pinnacle. Oh, you ever notice people, how they watch someone? He's going to jump. And in their hearts, they wonder what would happen if he would fall. Splat. Huh? But they're caught up in watching someone on a building. Huh? Do you notice they're very quiet? And they're waiting? God, what are they waiting for? Isn't that the way we are sometimes? We have a good friend or we have somebody and we're waiting for him to fall. Sort of like road runners. Run all over waiting for somebody to fall. Say amen, somebody. I mean, it's one of the quirks in us, isn't it? We all have it. It's something we have to depend upon the grace of God to get rid of a little at a time. Because one slip on the pinnacle would be fatal. You look below through the grim mist which hides the depths below, and you can be deeply grateful for the invisible hand of grace which sustains us always and even until now. Say, God's grace is going to sustain me. Ooh, I can't always see him in high places. You said someone I heard someone say. And I can hear it right now over the radio. Somebody in here maybe. Explain high places. And I'm not only talking about the places of wealth and the places of influence and the places of fame, but places that are high for us. You might be sweeping one floor and then somebody will give you a charge over three floors. And that for you is a high place. You might fall in that high place. A high place is a high place was a high place for you. But also places of enjoyment and satisfaction. They're high places. When you're really enjoying yourself. When you're really satisfied. That's like when you get done eating. Let's say you're in the army and you get done and then the enemy's out there and you say, ooh, they send in a great big turkey dinner, you know, you're on the battlefield, but somehow they get this great meal together, turkey dinner, and you're sitting there burping, your helmet's on sideways, your gun's laying over here, it's stuck in the mud, the barrel of it's stuck in the mud, your grenades are hanging sort of sloppy around the back of you. That place of personal satisfaction could be your death. That's a high place. Sometimes we can get high. We can get high on the things we like to do. How many are hearing this? We get high. And that's why, Dove, that's so good that you've been through a lot of tribulations and things, and you can look back and praise God for it. Say amen. In the same way with your group. You know, they learn, don't we? We learn and we have the experience. And so, like the world says, we don't go in half-cocked. We go in with both barrels cocked all the way back. We know the enemy. We know the wiles of the devil. We know in whence we are to go, and we know where we're supposed to go, and how we're to go, and how we're to listen. We know. Now to stand not only in the high places, but a holy place. I believe in God's house it is a very desirable and a very honorable. Oh, what a responsibility to stand in a high and a holy place. Let those beware whom God, it says, exalts in Israel. Oh, what a hard time that is. And I believe who it is written of that talks about, do you remember this one apostle? This one disciple that carried the purse. Ooh. The man that would have been better that he had never been born. Oh, how great it is to have a huge work for God. And I believe it's no small privilege to be permitted by pen or by tongue to edify millions of the saints. But all those high places, even God's temple, are dizzy places where you can lose your balance, where you can fall off. Lofty positions are the sites where I believe certain temptations come we would have never known. I've been tempted by things I never knew I'd be tempted by. Even in that little elevation that we're getting. Are you hearing this? Tempted like you've never been tempted before with all kinds of things. You'd never known if you're laying down there in them green pastures, and you'd never known by feeding by the still waters. But glory to God, it's making you more Christ-like. How many are hearing this? It makes you more Christ-like. If you would have just stayed in the green pastures, or laying beside those still waters. But then with that comes a responsibility, doesn't it? You're up on a high place. You're walking the beam. You're on a very narrow road now. The responsibilities are there. No one knows, preacher, your responsibilities. No one but God. No one. You're the one that knows them. You're the one that God is speaking to. And you out there, God is speaking to all of you too. Let's look at Jesus here for a minute, divine yet human. Did he not have a fear of falling? Was he not tempted? Are we not frequently tempted with the fear of falling? I thought to myself, what happens? And it does. As we may become desperate in order to escape the position so full of peril. And we say to each other, be cool, don't panic. And that one that's up there walking the ledge, it's easy to give the advice, isn't it? But you're the one that's walking. You're the one that has to stay on that narrow road. Don't put your eyes on them, you'll fall off. Put your eyes on Jesus, look straight ahead. Don't look down, don't look back, but look straight ahead onto the Lord. They'll confuse you. I told you some time back I learned a lesson from jumping from building to buildings in the cities. And now the guys would try to tempt you to fall, and they'd try to get your brain all cluttered up so that you wouldn't make it to the next building. So what I would do is yell and scream louder than them and jump, yo! Until I got to the other side. That's what you have to do. You have to let the words of Jesus drown out all the other voices. All the other complaints. How many are hearing this?
So if you tear